This episode is brought to you by Destination.
This episode is brought to you by Santa's Lapland.
Now, for a Christmas...
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Phoebe, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Maeve, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And, Phoebe, Josh Widdicombe.
Josh Widdicombe.
Never, always cute, isn't it? Always cute.
Always works. Hello, Rob and Josh, Lou and Rose and Sexy Michael. We've been listening...
I'm not sure about him getting this Sexy Michael thing.
Yeah.
No offence to Michael, who is obviously listening to this. He's a good-looking guy. Sexy's quite strong.
Sexy's a different thing, isn't it?
Handsome, sure, sexy voice, but just
sexy. Do you think sexy?
No, none
Who's
of us
sexy?
Are. David Beckham.
Is David Beckham sexy?
Well, yeah, I think he'd be down as sexy. Who else is sexy? The guy who played Elvis, sexy. Even I thought about maybe it's time to have sex with a man just to see. Anyway, Michael, I'm just not sure about the sexy. But okay. So let him have it.
What you're saying is I should stop amending those emails.
Yeah. Just put very handsome and, an above average penis.
We've been listening to the podcast since the very beginning and can't wait to come and see you both live at the O2 in April. Here is a voice note from our daughters, Phoebe 5 and Maeve 2. We hoped for shy, bookish kids, but got two absolute nutters. At least life isn't boring. Sorry about the end of the voice note. That's my husband, Dan, yelling at the kids to put their shoes on. Sending you all the best wishes for Christmas and beyond. Hannah and Dan from...
Shropshire.
Buckinghamshire.
Oh, God, I knew it was a shear.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks, mate. How are you? You all right?
All right. How are you?
I've had an absolute disaster.
Good.
I'm doing this at the end. I do it at the end of my garden, don't I, the podcast?
Yeah.
And we just did a little bit of record. We had to record something. And then I went, can I quickly go to the toilet for the next episode? Run to the house and it's cold and rainy. The snow's gone, but it's cold still, rainy. I'm barefooted, long story. It wasn't raining when I come down to the garden. It was dry. Yeah. And I run to the house and went to open the back door, locked. From the inside, Lou's gone out.
What? You're locked out?
Yeah, I'm locked out. Well, I've got access to this room to do recording, but there's nothing in here.
How long's Lou out for?
I don't know. No idea. She's not replied to my text message, so I've just pissed in the garden.
God, that's incredible. Did you?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
It's weird, actually, because
a lot of options there. Lucky it's raining.
There's a lot of options, and I just sort of think I don't know if piss is good for a plant or bad for a plant. So I didn't know whether to pick a really healthy one that could take the damage or go for a one that's struggling and give it a bit of a boost up.
Yeah. I don't think it's healthy.
Because I had a Barocca earlier, so I didn't know if that would help
the
tree.
Right, yeah, of course, that's good.
So I pissed in the garden in the rain and now I'm back here broadcasting.
Have you got any supplies? If you're out there all day?
No, not really. I've got no water or food.
It's raining.
Yeah, I could just go in the garden and open my mouth like a bird. I've got an empty glass from a drink I had earlier. Maybe I should put that. Can you drink rainwater?
Go put that in the garden now. What? Yeah, of course you can drink rainwater. It's the best water.
Right. Okay. I'll put my glass out there now and see how much I get by the end of the record.
I mean, you could end the podcast by downing a pint of water.
Yeah, a pint of rainwater. I'll do that. Not a problem. I'll pop it out there. And we'll see how we get on, Josh.
You'll take it very well, I think. But I suppose you're confident.
Out there? I don't know if you're allowed to drink rainwater.
Of course you are. It's fresh from the cloud.
Yeah, I think Bear Grylls would, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So Lou's gone out with your daughters.
Yeah, because they're off for Christmas now, which is a ball. You're suffering as well because you've got a play date this afternoon. And it's kicking off in your house. My kids, Lou's taking them somewhere. I don't know where.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does impact your, especially working from home, because you're not really able to work from home because then the kids just basically bowl in. And so what are we doing?
It's slightly awkward, isn't it? It's slightly awkward on December 20th? 19th to go, I'm going to go upstairs and do a podcast. It doesn't feel right, does it?
I know, but it is technically work. But no one respects it, Josh, do they?
Remove the word technically, Rob. It is work.
This is work. I'm working. I'm having to put up with you for, you know, an hour a week.
That's a living.
We're earning a living, baby. We're just trying our best.
Yes, I've got a play date this afternoon and the house isn't to the level of tidy that Rose or I want it to be for people to come around.
Okay, if Rose was away and you had this play date happening, is the house for you in an acceptable state?
I'm gonna take the fifth on that. I'm gonna just
no comment.
No comment.
Okay.
No, it's not. There's bags of clothes, Rob. There's bin bags of clothes.
There's bin bags of clothes.
I've cleared out my wardrobe.
And you've got to put it somewhere. And back in the wardrobe?
No. They're going to a charity shop.
Really? Do they do kids' clothing there as well? Do they take that? Josh?
What? How did that feel?
I felt like it was a bit of fun, but I really needed you to sort of join in on it.
I know.
But you went quiet, and I just felt bad for saying that you wear children's clothes.
Don't have to pay VAT on them, Rob. It's a win.
I do that, but I just wear books. sort of need a knowledge of what has VAT applied on it for that joke to work.
I can't remember whether it's a cake or a biscuit. It's one of the two, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever the pays the least amount of tax is basically what it is.
Anyway.
So it's a bit messy. So you've got to tidy up. You've got quite a busy play date, haven't you? You were saying? It's quite a lot of kids.
Yeah. Three of my daughter's friends and their siblings are coming as well.
So how many siblings are there? So how many kids are you going to have in your house? You've got your two.
Two plus two plus two plus four. 10.
That's a tasty
afternoon.
Right. So what's your plan with the 10 kids?
The four friends will look after themselves.
They'll probably go into your sister, into your daughter's room to play.
Yes.
Because you don't have a playroom in your house, do you, as such?
No.
You've got like a bit of toys in the kitchen and then you've got their bedroom. Yeah. So the four friends are going to the bedrooms.
Yes. Correct.
There's the 18-month-old who's going to be tearing about.
That's it.
Being followed by you and Rose.
What do I do with older kids?
How old? What ages are they?
Probably about 2 years old. So probably about a couple of 7-year-olds and a couple of 10-year-olds, say.
Boy or girls?
Three girls and a boy.
I'd say normally whenever there's an older boy at my house, they're desperate to play on some sort of computer or a Switch or a PlayStation. Right. So you could, if you had one of them, you could just get that kid set up.
I don't know because I'm an adult now.
Sure. But I'd say that's normally a good one. If you just have a PlayStation set up, they'll sit there 4 or 5 hours not moving.
Okay.
Maybe a Christmas film.
A Christmas film. There you go.
I would get sweets and popcorn and make it like a fun thing and put on a Christmas film for them.
That's a good one.
So there's a quiet room with the film on, and then there's also they can play in the room upstairs.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, good work.
That's what I'd suggest.
Yeah, because I just suddenly thought I don't know how to relate to older kids. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, what I've discovered was that they're cleverer, and so like I don't know when my kids were like 3 and 5, there was like a 9-year-old that came round, and I was like, and they're running around, and someone said, "No, you mustn't run around with that." And he went, "Yeah, but I want to," and run around with it. I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, they're not that clever, Rob. That's not happened.
Yeah, well, no. I was like, oh, so they just do that, do they? And just don't give a shit. And now I've got to try and parent a kid that's not mine.
Or grass
him up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Well, we'll see how it goes.
I'm interested to hear how it goes.
I think it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Chilling out with the parents, having a good old chin wag about the school, that kind of thing.
You want to speak to the parents, though, don't you? You like socialising.
I love socialising, Rob. I'm a social animal.
You're a social butterfly. You're more social than me, actually. But on paper, you'd assume...
No, I love it. I absolutely love socialising.
Sound like you're panicked at a job interview. What are your hobbies? Do you know what? It is literally just socialising. I just love it.
I'm a man of extremes, Rob. I like to be at home, doing nothing in the evening or socialising.
Mm. I wouldn't say that's an extreme.
That's the thing, Rob. I know as many people as possible or as few as possible.
Right, that kind of thing. Okay, yeah. So you love it busy in the house and loads of people coming over and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Okay. And you pop in a few bottles of booze or something, or is it a dry one? What are we doing? Are you still drinking or not?
I drank at a wedding.
Fair enough. That's standard.
Yeah, so that was my first drink in 2 months.
2 months, right.
Yeah.
How
which
was that?
Is quite exciting.
Well,
so,
I saw you the next day and you looked very hungover,
I was more
excited by life.
Yeah, So, but also, because I've got to the point in those 2 months where I wasn't that fussed about drinking, and I'd been in a lot of social situations where I didn't drink. I didn't drink at the wedding till after I'd done the speech, because I was best man.
Yeah.
So I didn't drink until...
Joint best man.
Joint best man. Yeah. Didn't drink till 7:30. So actually, I was one of the more together people at the wedding.
What time did you finish then? What did it... What
12:30.
Right, okay. Oh, that's not too bad.
No.
What time's your daughter's bedtime? I think our kids go to bed too early.
So my son goes to bed at 6:45, I'd say, is when Rose tends to leave the room, 6:50.
So like, that's actually in bed to go to sleep, not the bath and all that.
So we take him up at 6:15, and I'd say he is left in his room between 6:45 and 7.
Okay, sure. And then, and your daughter?
And my daughter. So I try and do my daughter, I try and overlap that. So she'll probably have a bath while Rose is putting our son down in the room. Yeah, generally. They had one together last night, but that's rare.
And she has to have a bath together all the time. They're a bit closer in age.
Yeah, he's quite splashy and not that much of a laugh to have a bath with if you're 5.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Who is a laugh to have a bath with?
I don't know, someone sexy. David Beckham?
Oh, that would be awful. I hate to be in a bath. Imagine being in a hot tub with Beckham.
Yeah.
Or Michael. His sexy body out.
So
what time is she going in to bed?
So tends to leave her room at 8, I'd say.
Leave her room?
You leave
her room at 8.
Yeah.
So do you sit with her then to get to sleep?
We've got into that and I love it. I'll be honest with you.
So it's what do you do when we had Fern Cotton on
and she said that she... like holds the hand of her daughter still, and it's those things. It's a bit like when she's not well, we have her on our floor, Rob. And I'll be honest with you, we've got a bed. We put her on a bed on our floor.
You're such wonderful parents. On the floor, on the wooden floor,
on a bed.
But don't you have her in the bed with you when she's not ill, not well?
She hates it. She hates being in the bed with
us. Fair enough. But you have okay.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I love it, Rob.
Yeah, it's like a fun sleepover, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the next day, it'll get to bedtime. I go, oh, I haven't tidied away the bed. I suppose you'll have to stay in our room another night. That kind
of... It's more for the parent than the kid, isn't it?
About 4 nights. And then Rose is like, look, we've got to move that bed back up.
Wouldn't you say, are you just sat on a chair next, or are you in the bed with her?
Sat on a chair. Read to her. She goes to sleep really quickly because she's got an eye mask.
Oh, yeah, she loves it. Well, my eldest goes to sleep really quick as well. But my 5-year-old does take a lot longer.
Yeah, at some point we're going to have to leave her on her own, but I'm in no rush. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's an extra 5-10 minutes, and it's quite nice because it's just time to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Just a bit of quiet time on the phone. Yeah. Once they start drifting, with your phone, you're on Twitter, screen grabbing stuff to send to mates in this magical moment with your daughter.
Exactly. So tell me through your bedtimes.
They've been going up a bit early, like 6-ish for a bath and stuff. And then they just play for ages until about 8. So I think we're just going to start doing the bath later and then trying to get them into bed. So there's a bit of a momentum into bed. Because sometimes they have pyjamas on for like an hour and a half. And then they completely forgot his bedtime. But we're a bit out of sorts because of me coming home from Australia. And then Christmas fucks it all up because you're out and about and stuff. So
what time is it? Rob and Lou curled up on the sofa, couple of glasses of Lambrini, and
well, probably about 8:30, but
half eight,
yeah, about 8, half 8. But the youngest keeps coming up and down, and she comes downstairs and crawls around trying to jump out on us. She takes it really hard to sort of go to sleep. So then sometimes we lay with her, but sometimes she goes off to herself. But yeah, about 8. But I think we need to do the bath later. That's our problem. We're doing the bath too early, and they're in the pajamas, and then they just feel like they're just in a new outfit for the day because it's been like another 2 hours. But it's fine. But it's not too bad now because they can lay in a bit longer. They're waking up about 7-ish now, which is an absolute godsend.
Yes.
It makes a big difference. But yeah.
Oh, 7-ish. It's glorious, isn't it?
But they've been waking up early and going a bit late because they're so excited because it's too much, Josh, because they're off school now and we have 2 birthdays. Their birthdays are a week apart just before Christmas.
It's mental in December, isn't it?
So the two, basically... Or is it Monday today? It's Christmas. We're recording this on Monday. It goes out tomorrow, Tuesday. And then it's Christmas at the end of the week. But then the last 2 weekends, we've had a birthday in the week and then birthday party at the weekend. It's just too much. It's like, yeah. And then we've been going to other birthday parties. One, Josh, I went to a birthday party. Tell me if you think this is acceptable or not, right?
Yeah.
It's a good birthday party. It's like they do chocolate making. The kids seem to love it. It's a 40-minute drive.
40-minute drive?
So I had to go on the M25. I was literally on M25 going, I can't believe I've got to go on the M25. And it's down in like Tunbridge Wells. And I got there and I dropped her off. And then some of the parents are going, because it's too far to drive home to have a cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you're dropping off, because the one we did is like 5 minutes from us and about 5 minutes from the school. So it was like,
yeah, yeah.
It's easy. But I was just like, oh, and then like when you've got that in your weekend, it's like, that's nearly an hour and a half of driving. And then I did some shopping in between.
What did you do in between? Some shopping?
I did some shopping. I need to get some food shopping. I need to get to petrol for the car.
Can I ask a question, Rob? And we can edit this out if it's too sensitive a topic.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Because you're worried they're listening. Did you create some shopping that needed doing because you didn't want to have to sit with the other parents and have a cup of tea?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But that's no
you're
shade.
Not a social butterfly.
That's fine. No, that's no shade on the parents. I like the parents. I play football with them. We go for drinks. We're very social. I was hungover because I'd got drunk the night before. And so I was hungover. I was tired. And I've been working loads since I got back from Australia. Tonight's my last gig I'm doing. And I just had nothing left to give. And then I had a busy Sunday because I had the kids' birthday. Then I was on Radio 2. And then we had meetings and stuff. So it wasn't them. It was a reflection on me. And I had no energy. I had no energy to chat. So I went and did some invented shopping and got some party food from Marks and Spencer's, which
nice,
was
nice
for the week. But I got really drunk the night before.
Oh, Rob.
Well, I was doing a gig. I did a corporate for this like music publishers, which is like they have a big Christmas lunch and I had to go and do stand up afterwards. But the music industry is a different beast, mate. They take themselves quite serious, don't they? Like there was people doing speeches that went on for ages. And then I was doing that and it was quite a hard gig to do. Because they were not always the most receptive crowd. And then I met up with Lloyd, who was out of his uni mates.
Lloyd Griffith.
Yeah, and I ended up getting drunk with them.
Wow.
So I did that. And then the next day
was a festive drink.
Yeah, it was actually. It felt very festive. And they're a bit posh, these mates. They're from Exeter Uni, so they all sung carols, which I didn't feel comfortable with, personally. Oh. They just sung carols in a pub, and I hated that.
Oh, that must have been quite nice.
But they're nice lads.
That.
No, not for me. You're a bit posh. You've got royal blood, though. You love all that.
Yeah, I love all that.
Less
I love a
ceremony.
Oh, I love that pomp and ceremony.
I'm a street kid. That's what I am.
I forgot that you're a street urchin.
Yeah. I was straight
100 years
mate.
Ago, you'd have been up a fucking chimney, wouldn't you, Rob? But look at
exactly.
you there.
Listening to the songs. But no, that was good. So then I had to get up. I had to pick up the birthday cake. Coghlan's, by the way, bakery, saved the day. Because it was our
Coghlan's,
birthday
yeah.
party on the Sunday. I had to go and pick up the cake on the Saturday morning. Then I came back. Then I had to walk the dog. Then I come back. Then I had to take my daughter to the party, which was 40 minutes away, hang around for a bit, then come back. It was just a very busy day, Josh. And when you're hungover... I wouldn't put that down as my schedule for a hungover man.
No. And I'm thinking, so after my drinking at the wedding, I'm now going to go back into a period of not drinking.
Right,
again, because
okay.
I quite enjoyed it.
Sure.
I think I'm just going to drink on certain occasions I decide to drink.
Right, so what are those? Come on.
New Year's Eve is the next one.
So you're not going to have a drink today with the parents, all Christmassy? No,
I'll be fine.
After the last leg recordings?
No.
Sure, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day?
No.
Really?
No, because do you know what? Christmas Day is too long. It's too long a period.
Yeah, but I get smashed from the morning and then I basically stop drinking when I eat the dinner and I have my hangover watching telly in the evening.
Yeah, but I hate that. I hate day drinking leading into feeling shit in the evening.
Then you just go to bed and you don't... Or if you time it, like, you feel shit when you go to sleep.
Yeah, but... No, I know, but I'm just no
and
good at that.
Then you have your hangover while you're asleep.
Yeah, I'm just no good at it, Rob. I'm no good at day drinking. So next time is New Year's Eve. I'm going to do a sober Christmas.
What are you doing for New Year's Eve?
I don't know. Just having a few people round, I think.
You love socialising.
I love socialising, Rob.
You love being the host.
Do you know what I like? Yeah, I do like that kind of feeling of like the house being teeming with people, coming and going. Oh, have a beer, have a drink, have a Dorito, enjoy yourself, that kind of thing.
So what
I love that.
Did you have a busy house as a kid? Because you've got older brothers, but you were...
No, I was the only child. Because they were half-brother. They were with their, they grew up with their mum.
Oh, so you had a quiet house growing up?
Yeah.
Right, I got it confused. Because I knew you had a lot of brothers. No. But they were living elsewhere, so you were in a quiet house and saw the only child.
Like the teeming house in London town.
Yes. Oh, it feels like you're in like a Love Actually film. That's why you're buzzing for it.
Exactly. Is that what it is?
See, what I'd feel more
really
Christmassy.
Cutting to the heart of who I am.
Yeah. I would like a cottage, a snowy cottage in the middle of nowhere.
But you grew up in a busy house.
Exactly. I like the quiet. You want the loud. Oh, this is why it works. We're meeting in the middle.
There we go. There we go.
We should have got married. You could have done all the chat. I'd just sit in the corner all quiet. This is it, isn't it, Josh? And that makes sense now why you're a bit needy when you're ill. You've got loads of attention when you're ill.
What?
You're quite needy when you're ill, aren't you?
What?
You are.
Where's that come from?
When Rose said that you opened your mouth to be fed like a sparrow with paracetamol.
Yeah, well, that
wouldn't have happened in my house growing up. If I'd done that, someone would put a bit of poo in there or something. One of my brothers. You leave your mouth open too long, someone would fart in it.
Oh, God, Rob, on the putting something in your mouth, I had a bit of a nightmare earlier.
Okay,
Rose was upstairs having a shower.
Right.
And my son, who's 18 months.
Yeah.
I turned around and he had... like quite a large black pill.
What? Yeah.
About the size of a 2 pence piece.
Right.
And I could see he had it in his, like, not completely in his mouth, but like in his hand and in his mouth.
Yeah.
I took it off him and I was like, and it was just covered me in like black all over my fingers. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And he had it all around his mouth, black. And I ran my hands under the tap and I was like, is that a pill? And I broke it and it just broke into like a pill.
Yeah.
And I was like a kind of, looked a bit like a Barocca, but black.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Rocker.
Black Rocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, Rose, he's a bit of a worry.
Is she still showering at this point?
No, she was at the top. She was getting dressed soon. Just a slight worry. He's been eating a black pill.
Might have to go to A&E, but don't worry, I've got a parking space.
And then she was noticeably worried. I thought I'd misjudged this.
I'd
I shouldn't have said
too.
A bit of a worry. Yeah, I know. I said, don't worry.
Actually, massive worry.
Yeah, massive worry. He's been eating a black pill. I was like, what black pills have we got? Right? Do you want to know what it was?
What?
It was one of the bits of... from like a paint set. The black circle of paint had fallen out of the paint set.
That's solid until you make it wet.
Yeah, that's solid. And that's why it was marking everything the moment it got wet and why it had black around his mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was lucky. You saw that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I suppose kids' paint is probably not poisonous because
massive black poos.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been what would have happened. But yeah, I don't think it's poisonous, but I don't think you should just let him eat it just because it isn't poisonous.
No, I just let him have the orange and the yellow one. I just enjoy himself.
I'm talking of poisonous, though. Rainwater is bad for you, full of germs, apparently.
Is it? What? Why? It's coming from the sky.
I know.
Where are the germs?
You might, while useful for many things, rainwater is not as pure as you might think. You cannot assume it is safe to drink.
Oh, come on now.
I think it would be safe, like, if you were in the Lake District, because it's come over, like, the Pennines. But when you're in South East London, /Kent.
Oh, mate. Gatwick Airport's probably fucking that rainwater big
God,
style for you.
Joe, you know what's in that rainwater? Someone's had a shit on the way back from Tenerife, and it's just landed in a cup. They just flush it out, don't they, over the sea? Is that what they do with plane poo?
Is that a myth, or is that true? I don't believe that's true anymore.
Get rid of poo.
It can't be true anymore.
The vacuum toilets of planes painted by James Kempner. I bet he earned some money. The vacuum toilet sucks the waste into a holding tank where he stores until the plane lands.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's like a massive caravan.
Yeah. What about the trains? Same.
Well, because there used to be signs, don't flush at a station. But you don't want, like, a train track just full of human shit.
Yeah. That just means all train tracks are just covered in shit.
Maybe it isn't Leeds on the line. Maybe it's just people had a heavy night the night before and they've just absolutely turned one out on up to crew. I don't know.
So I had an exciting day at the wedding, Rob.
Oh, yeah, go on.
It was good fun.
Speech go okay?
The speech, yeah, I was very nervous about the speech. very nervous about the speech.
It's hard to do when you're a comedian in a room full of comedians.
Yeah, not ideal. But it went well. And then did a DJ set. That went well.
Oh. What comedians were there? Were there any comedians there that you found intimidating to perform in front of?
No. Absolutely not.
Absolutely fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, you did a DJ set?
Yeah, too right, mate. Me and Rose did closed it out. We did the final DJ set of the night.
Do you reckon we should do a thing? We should do, after, you know, like what Romesh does after his arena shows, where he does an after party for hip hop.
We should do a wedding DJ set.
Called the Sad Dad's Disco.
The Sad Dad's Disco. We should do that.
And then we just have a party in the Indigo afterwards.
Yes, let's do it.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Is there anything on in the Indigo that night?
I mean, I don't know. We'll look into it.
Yeah, we'll look into it. We're not going to
book it now. Hold on, I'll ring him. Hello, yeah. Is that Mr. O2?
The Sad Dad's Disco.
We should just do Sad Dad's Disco.
Sad Dad's Disco.
I don't want a DJ, though. I'll just get drunk.
I'll do the whole thing.
I'll just be sad because I don't like socialising. Well,
some of the songs I dropped were so good.
But then we could get different Sad Dads in. And mums. Yeah. Let's not make it all mums. Blokey. But Sad Dad's Disco sounds good. Sad Mums and Dads, it doesn't work, does it?
No, it's fine to call it the Sad Dad's Disco.
Okay, I've thought about it. Let's ban women from the event. Total ban on women. Just
purely
men.
Because it doesn't work, doesn't scan. The Sad Dad's Disco. I think that could be a real winner. Everyone will just be hammered.
Well, yeah, we should put on a little event, you know, a little in January, maybe.
We'll do it after the O2.
Okay, we'll do it after the O2. Everyone's.
I don't have to leave the house twice.
Babysitters around the country rubbing their hands together for an extra 2 hours pay.
Yeah. So, what are your plans for Christmas, Rob? Because this is the last time we're going to speak before Christmas.
Oh, yes. I would like to say I've got a good thing to read out about correspondence for Christmas. One thing that made me laugh at the kids' party, was it? We had an Encanto party. So we had a Mirabelle princess.
Yep.
And Mirabelle was there and she came out and waved and had photos and stuff like that. It was really nice. And then the entertainer did it sort of by accident. Didn't mean anything by it, but it really made me laugh. I was like, okay, well, Mirabelle's going now. She's got to go back. She's got to go back to Colombia. So, does anyone want a photo before we send her back to Colombia? And it felt like some sort of like Pretty Patel, like. Policy. Right, send her. Mirabelle's been sent back to Colombia. It was just the way she said it really made me laugh.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good. Really good parties. Would massively recommend those. So yeah, we are in Christmas mode now.
Are you entertaining or are you being entertained?
Christmas. We've got a few little things lined up. We're going to go to Lapland. Ascot, we're going to go there. You've already done that. We're doing that. We're doing a Kids Tuesday. You know when kids get to pick whatever they want to do?
I
promised them that this week. So we are going to a climbing wall in South London.
Yeah.
And then I think we may go and see a show somewhere. They want to go and see a show.
Nice.
And then basically they just get to pick what they want all day.
Great. I'll let you know how that goes. What do you reckon the food will be?
They're very keen on donuts for breakfast, lunch and dinner. I think they will regret after lunch.
Yeah, yeah. They'll learn a hard lesson.
Well, exactly. They're going to learn a hard lesson. But we have to say yes to whatever. So if they want to smoke a cigarette, they're smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, fine, yeah.
That's the rules of the day.
Yeah.
Don't shoot me. So we're doing that. And then, yeah, we've got Christmas Eve. We're having a quiet one with me, Lou and the girls. We're trying to set up a little routine where we go and have like dinner at lunch out and go to the cinema and then come home and get all cozy like 4 or 5
Christmas
in the afternoon.
Eve routines are good, aren't they?
Yes. So I think we're going to try and do it as a family. We have a quiet one where we go for lunch and watch a film somewhere. We might try and see Home Alone. I think that's on cinema. But I don't know if it's too old for the girls. I don't want to fucking scare the shit out of them on Christmas Eve. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
Some of that are Avatar. With farts. So Christmas Day, we've got Lou's mum and dad and sister coming over.
Yeah.
So they're coming over the day. I'm doing all the food. And then Boxing Day, I've got my mum and dad, my brother and his wife and their two kids coming over for the day. We're doing food. And then we're having sort of a bit of more of a chilled one. We haven't planned much more than that. But yeah, so I'm hosting and cooking. But I normally just get pissed and hope for the best with the cooking.
Nice.
So what are you doing? You're not going back to...
Trains, mate. I was going to go down on the 27th with my daughter because taking an 18-month-old to Devon for a day
is
just not
worth it.
Not worth it. But I was like, oh, that'll be a fun adventure. We can get the train down.
Yeah,
stay
that's
over
quite a fun like daddy and daughter day out where you can just chill. Yeah, and she's not kicking her heels waiting for you to deal with the 18-month-old. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. So it would have been great, but the old trains have been cancelled. So unless they reach an agreement on that before the 27th.
Well, what I'd say about that, though, is like they've cancelled the trains, but like in a weird world, it sort of makes your day easier, doesn't it, not having to go?
Well, it doesn't, Rob.
Are you saying you don't support the strikers?
No, I'm saying I do support the strikers.
I do support the strikers.
I support the strikers, 100%. But I should add, I do find the train incredibly relaxing, and I presume she'd have just looked at her iPad for the full journey.
And you could have chilled out.
I could have chilled out for 4 hours.
Well, you know, I think I support the strikers, Josh, at the moment.
Yeah.
I think people need to be, not sort of get political about this, but I very much support the nurses, the posties and the train guys.
Well, and I don't mind.
I am someone who uses the train quite a lot, so I'm not saying this from a position of not being screwed. I've been screwed over with the train strikes quite a lot recently, been marooned in different parts of the country and in London. Well, but people need to earn enough to provide for their families and have a nice life. And
I agree.
I think it's a good thing. I think they should pay up personally, but I don't know if I've got political all of a sudden.
No, I liked it. I think what I would add is, in terms of being marooned, you have got locked out of your house in your own garden, so you can't.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lou's on strike from being my wife at the moment.
Has she replied?
No, she's not. I think she's probably busy with her two children, so I can't moan too much.
So do you know where she's gone?
Probably to the dog for a walk, because I couldn't see a dog either. But he might be curled up in another room, because I'm literally looking through the window like a sort of shoeless burglar. And never leave tracks, though. Never leave shoe prints.
And let's war game this. Sure. Say Lou is out till 6 PM. And doesn't reply. Yeah.
Right, okay.
What's the plan? Is there any way out? Or is there...
Is there a
side you can get? But then what are you going to do when you get...
Well, I can't even get... Even if I had a key to the back door, I couldn't put it in the lock because there's a key in the lock.
Yes.
You know when there's one on the other side?
Yeah.
So even if I had a key for the back door, I couldn't... I could ring my mother-in-law and ask her to bring a key round because I can't walk there in shorts, T-shirt, barefoot.
So she could... Your mother-in-law could come round and open the house and then let you in?
Yeah, so it's not the end of the world. I assume we'll be back. But... otherwise, I'll be sat
let's
here.
War game this. Your mother-in-law is out with Lou and they're both ignoring you.
Well, so I'm here till I get home. And it's warm, though. I've got a little radiator thing, so I'm warm enough. I'll just treat it like I'm fasting for a health kick.
Yes, good
and
work.
And I'm
good
strictly
work.
Only drinking rotten, plain shit water.
Yeah, fine. Yeah,
good, that's good falling work. From the sky. But I think I'll be all right. My new thing is, Josh... What we don't know enough to know if our situation's a good or bad thing.
Totally. Agree.
Let it play out and enjoy and experience each moment because it actually might, something good might come of it.
Oh, one good bit of advice I always remember, because my dad never really gets that kind of, a bit like his £1,000 advice, which is the best bit of advice
I've ever been given. That one,
Idiot tax, is there's no point, you know, if you're in a bad situation, you've got to be somewhere, so you might as well enjoy where you are. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
You're always going to be somewhere. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's easy, but you
sometimes
might as well.
Sometimes you're barefoot in a shed alone for the day. And do you know what, though? I'm not a social person. I'm enjoying the quiet.
Exactly, Rob. Have you got your PlayStation or something?
No, I've got my computer. I've got a bit of Lego in it. Honestly...
How much are you hoping that they don't come back till 6?
You know what? If I had a pair of slippers and access to fresh drinking water, I reckon I could stay there for a week.
Do you know your neighbours? Could you shout across and get them to give you a glass of water?
Yeah, but I think it'd raise more questions than answers. I don't think... Oh, there is a tap, though, actually. Tell a lie.
There's a tap?
There's a tap that I could drink from, and I think it's good water. I think you can drink tap water from the garden tap water, can't you? It's not out the hose. I can drink straight from the tap.
Why don't you put the sprinklers on and, like a dog, you could try and drink from the sprinklers?
I don't know if there's still a hose pipe ban in Bromley, because there's been no water recently, has there? It's been very dry the last couple of weeks.
I think
maybe Thames Water should stop all the fucking pipes leaking before they stop us leaking ours. What about that, Josh, for a bit of politics? This episode is brought to you by O2. This episode is brought to you by Santa's Lapland.
Rob?
Yeah, mate? Josh, oh, that's what I was going to do. I've got some correspondence. Or was we talking about... What were we talking about? Your Christmas?
No, but I think I've kind of covered it, really, haven't I?
Right. I've got some good correspondence here. Should we go do on. Some correspondence?
Yeah.
This is... I've got some really good ones that have come in the last couple of weeks. Here we go. Hello, chaps. I like being called a chap, you know.
Yeah, that's good,
I don't like being called chief.
No, no.
I'm like a bit... Or big guy.
Yeah.
You're on 5'8". Come on.
Yeah.
5'9", really. I just say 5'8", because I'd rather underestimate than overestimate.
Yeah, of course.
It's quite needy, doesn't it?
I see you as medium height.
I am just below... I'm just below around medium height. In Air Force One's medium height.
Yeah?
Converse, I'm below. Yeah, you don't do yourself any favours in the Converse, Josh.
No, but I don't want people to go, he's short and he wears a built-up shoe.
You should get the Ant & Dec ones where they're hidden in the boot.
Right, have they
like
got
the Tom
them,
Cruise ones. Yeah, you can get them.
Okay, cool.
Where they look like they're normal shoes, but
yeah,
something's happening downstairs. Just saying. Hello, chaps. On this week's episode, Rob said, I like to play a game of what's the worst thing I could reply. Well, my lovely fella actually did it. This was when Rose was a bit stressed and we were working. I always think, what is the worst thing we can say to someone? Yeah. My lovely fella actually did it. When the school office texted him to ask, why is Lucy absent from school today? This will now be recorded as an unauthorised absence. He, being at work and not looking properly, thought he was moaning and replied to me, cheeky c***s.
Whoa!
We've only just realised 7 months later when they texted again that he actually replied to the school.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Too much time has passed to apologise, so I'm sure he will forever be on some watch list somewhere. Love from Mick in Chelmsford.
Oh, fucking hell, that is brutal. Cheeky c***. That is incredible. Wow. You just thought you'd get in trouble for that.
What are they going to do? Ring your mum?
Well, they might say, excuse me, but I think it's unacceptable to treat our staff, you know, like that.
You shouldn't call our staff.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, there's not a specific rule, but you can't go around calling our receptionist a c***. I mean, maybe you could argue that you were being jovial. You cheeky
I know. He'd done a winky smiley face. But that made me laugh.
Yeah.
We've had loads of people talking about the Tom Parry episode about being... One is about the screens, people that are into baby monitors and not. Got some good ones on them. And then we've got a good one about Father Christmas, which I'll do after the monitors. So if you're watching me, kids, maybe, stop listening for the rest of the episode. I'll do the monitors first. Here we go. Hi, lads. Because they've still got the screen on all the time, haven't they? With the sound, I think, in the Parry household. This one, baby monitors. Hello, lads. We're no screeners. Ooh. Hear that, Josh? No screeners.
No screen at all.
No screen. Oh, well, I had my sister's old baby stuff and she just had an audio one. So that's what we used.
Oh, old school.
Your audio. It's been fine. Now, hold on to your hats, Josh. Get this. Second baby didn't even use the audio beyond a couple of weeks when he first went into his own room.
What?
I just bareback listen with my ears.
Whoa.
Okay, so we missed him crying a couple of times when we were watching a movie, but only for a minute and it was fine. I did get confused and started lactating to what turned out to be a goat crying in Mallorca, though. That's a downside of breastfeeding. Rachel in Crystal Palace. I think it can set it off, can't it? Crying sets off the boob. And she started lactating because she heard a goat cry. But there are no screener, Josh.
Well, fair play to him, fair play.
I respect it. I don't know if I could have been a full no screen. I'm a blank screen until there's a noise. Then the screen comes on with the temperature on. I like that. But I'm not a screen on all the time person, but each to their own. Here we go. This is from Anonymous, long-time listener. Tom Parry's return episode. I was a definite no screener. My grandma was Swedish, and in Scandinavia, there's a big thing about babies sleeping outside and being ditched outside cafes while the parents drink coffee inside.
Yeah, we've discussed this, haven't we?
Yep. I just used to get my children to sleep and leave them outside. She puts it to get my kids to sleep. I just left them outside in the woods at the bottom of the garden and got them with other things. I don't know if that's a joke or if she lives really in the middle of nowhere. She was just popping them in the woods. I don't think that's okay.
What?
I don't think you could put your kid in the woods.
I'm all for no screening, but...
I think it's just not no children in.
Yeah.
That's abandoning your child. Well, they suggest abandoning your child in the woods, which I wouldn't agree with.
No, but well, you know, each to their own, I say.
There is a world, though, wrapping them up warm in a buggy outside.
Oh, it's
where
they, absolutely
the fresh air does knock them out,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah, exactly. So it does work. Get them in the woods.
Right, now we've got one about an opening presents and then one about the Father Christmas thing. Here we go.
Okay.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Please keep me anonymous. On Christmas morning, most kids either have a total riot opening presents with chaos and fun everywhere, or they open them one at a time in turns.
Yeah.
So that's what we, in my house, we used to go downstairs before we have a coffee, but then before breakfast, we all take turns opening a present, right? One at a time. Oh, mine and Lou's little thing is we do our presents Christmas Eve when it's just us two, when we could actually talk to each other and enjoy
it. Sweet love.
Oh, yeah. In front of the fireplace while the dog's there just watching.
Two bodies entwined as one.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. Not downstairs. that's a no go. What about you, Josh? Your strictly bedroom?
Yeah.
Oh.
How many rooms in your house have you had sex in, Rob?
In the old house, a few.
Yeah.
In the new one with two young children? Sometimes one room.
Yeah.
What about you? Yeah.
Yet to christen the office.
Everywhere else is done.
No. Yet to christen the kitchen, the sitting room, any of the toilets, any of the kids' rooms, which I think is the correct thing.
Hallway?
Hallway, still christened free. It's a godless house, Rob. Stairs, yep.
Attic?
No.
Any basement?
Basement, no.
Anyway, so we do one at a time in our house. So you one at a time, but yours are still a bit young, aren't they, really? Is any, what are you doing? What's your plan in the mornings?
Oh, present-wise, sorry, I thought...
Quick rump before the kids wake up. Screen off.
We do one at a time. Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a better way of doing it. Anyway,
so you appreciate the presents more.
Yeah, that's what I think. However, this is different. This is the third option I didn't know was an option.
Oh.
Not in my house when growing up. Starting with the youngest, which was me, the whole family sat and watched me open every single one of my presents.
What?
I had to open them and look at them, then put them down, and I wasn't allowed to play with them until I'd watched my middle sister open all of hers. Same again.
Oh.
She'd open them all. We all watched. Then she'd have to put them down. And then we would all watch the older sister open all of hers. This in total took bloody hours. We would then have a pause while my dad did something with the Christmas ham, during which we would rush to try. I think he's cooking. I don't think he's got to have a wank.
Yeah.
Dad's going to go and sort out the Christmas ham.
Different room each year.
It's his tradition.
What was
respect
thing,
it.
What was that thing we talked about, getting your dick out in the kitchen? Did we talk about that last year?
Oh, no, I think we cut that out in the episode in the end.
Oh,
you know, I don't know what we said about. We said get your knob out when you do it. I think we went on a weird thing where when you're on your own in the kitchen, quickly get your knob out.
Why did that get cut? Michael, explain yourself. Why is that content on the cutting room floor?
Because basically you were asking adults to expose themselves in the proximity of children. And I think legally we're on slightly rocky ground there.
Okay, well, let's get this right. Don't get your knob out while you're cooking Christmas dinner.
No.
Yeah? Okay, right. Anyway, so so my dad had to do something with the Christmas ham. Then we had to watch mum and dad open their presents before we could play with ours.
Right.
I'm not sure, looking back, what was worse. Me having my pile of toys sat beside me, desperate to play with, or my older sister sat waiting to open hers, knowing she was expecting the blue version of whatever us two younger girls got in pink and green. Oh, no, that's the worst. Love the pod. Sorry to anyone around me who sees me laughing out loud, walking as I laugh along at the nonsense you get up to. Thanks, Anonymous. Oh, wow. Do you know, that's interesting that even now she can't say her name, or it's a lady, in case the parents get upset. Because that's what it'll be. Because then if this gets back to the parent, they'll be like, so you didn't like Christmas, did you? And she'll be 43, having to talk to a 70-year-old about Christmas. You never lose it. Your parents are always there, aren't they? There's always fucking some sort of politics. Here we go. Oh, right, this is a Father Christmas one. So if you want, listen to me, kids, please stop now.
Yeah.
And if the kids are out the room and away, you're not about. No, I'm joking.
I'm joking.
Okay. Right. So this is the thing about Tom Harry and his partner were talking about potentially telling their kids that Father Christmas isn't real because they never want to lie to their child about anything, okay? We've had, Josh, I'd say, lots of people going, I think that's the right thing to do. I'd never lie to my kids. And a lot of other people going, that is absolute nonsense. You should just enjoy the magic. Stop being killjoys, right? So two quiet, sort of almost... Yeah. Brexity, very
52-48.
Exactly. Okay. However, what I picked out here is rather than reading a load of those out, this, which I think is the perfect way to deal with it, and is from someone that has experienced both sides of it. So this, I think, is the answer. Dear Rob and Josh, I have just listened to your episode with Tom Parry and felt the need to write in response to the conversation around whether to tell kids about the big Father Christmas and whether he is real. I am one of those adults. I'm 39, who indeed was told from the get-go that Father Christmas, the Tooth Fairy, and angels, et cetera, were all a lie.
I mean, I didn't believe in angels. I'm not fucking insane.
Anyway, I remember telling many other children that it wasn't true and that their parents were all liars. As an adult, I contemplated this and asked my mum why. Her response was, when she was little, she was scared of Father Christmas. And also, why should we be thanking some fat old bloke for the gifts she'd worked so hard for?
Yes.
Which I'd argue is quite needy. me. Anyway, so this is Anna now. She's a grown-up. As a parent myself now, Jake 10 and Neve 8, I've decided to go in the opposite direction. I've handwritten notes from the Tooth Fairy, left carrots for the reindeers, and one special gift and a letter from the big man himself every year. The delight outweighs the effort every time. I think the one gift's quite key. I think that's a good way to do it, the one gift, right? And then the rest are from parents. This year, my son Jake, who is 10, said to me, he's not real, is he? I decided to take him out of earshot of his younger sister and said, if you choose not to believe, you now have a choice. You can either believe in the magic or be the magic. What will it be?
Oh, my word.
This is great, isn't it? He chose B. I told him that, yes, he's right. Father Christmas isn't real. But his character once was, and that now he holds the secret. Jake's job is to keep the magic alive for those who do believe, including little sister.
Get goosebumps.
His face was a picture, one of excitement and understanding of his duty. So in a world that can seem so hard and sad at times, why not create a little bit of safe magic? They are children for such a short amount of time in the scale of things. Have a lovely Christmas. Kind regards, Anna Dyson. Yes, that Anna.
That is superb.
I would vote for her as the Prime Minister.
Yeah, brilliant work.
Unbelievable scenes. I think that's a great way to look at it, don't you?
You can either believe the magic or be the magic.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because it's not about...
She wrote Hollywood movies.
Oh, what a film that would be.
Can I just tell you a quick thing about Father Christmas before we wrap up?
Yeah, of course. Go on.
So, obviously, people haven't come back to the podcast, so I can... It's still, you know, we're still not, you know, no kids.
Nob away.
So my wife said to my daughter, because we're giving some of her toys to charity.
Yeah.
She's getting rid of some of her toys. She said, like, at Christmas, there's some children that are less fortunate than you and their parents can't afford to get them presents. And my daughter said, but won't Father Christmas get them something?
Oh.
What do you do with that, Rob?
This is where I think the one gift comes in. And you say, yes, Father Christmas brings one gift for every child. The rest of the presents are from mummy and daddy. And you're very fortunate that mummy and daddy can get you more presents than some other kids.
Yeah.
I think that's the way I'm going to say it when they ask.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that helps.
We went with, no, these children have been bad. They're getting nothing from Santa.
Yeah. It's an angle.
It's an angle. No.
I think the one gift thing's quite... I think that's a good thing to sort of... We're introducing anyway as a family that they get one from...
Do you do the stocking
Christmas
as well?
Yes, and we do a stocking of little bits and bobs and then one present downstairs.
Stocking of plastic shit.
Yeah, just to fucking clog up the world.
Yeah.
All right.
Merry Christmas, Rob.
Small business shout-out.
We've got one more guest, haven't we, on Friday? Before Christmas.
Another guest.
And it's very exciting on Friday because it's someone who... His girlfriend is currently pregnant, So we're talking to someone for the first time who's about to become a parent, and then we're going to talk to them after they become a parent in a few months' time.
Yes. Are you allowed to say it is? Why are you being so coy?
It is Prince Harry.
It's Sean Walsh.
It's Sean Walsh, yes.
Let's do a quick small business shout-out and then bounce. Here we go. Oh, hello. Hello, massive fan of the pod, asking for a small business shout-out. Small family plumbing company based in East London, not far from Josh. We cover all aspects of plumbing in and around London. Our website is docklandsplumbingservices.com or follow us on Instagram at docklandsplumbing. If Josh ever has a plumbing issue, we aren't too far away to help. Or if he needs any putting air in his tyres again, we can help with that.
Oh,
Many thanks. Keep up the good work. Well, air in your tyres.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't tell my plumbing. I'll tell you on Friday before Sean Walsh that I did some plumbing and it went well.
Perfect. I can't wait to hear it.
Hi, Rob and Josh. I'm obsessed with the podcast and I love it. If you give a small business shout out to my little dog toy business at Fergal's Toy Box. Fergal is F-E-R-G-A-L. Fergal's Toy Box. As a professional dog trainer and walker, I'm always looking for different ways to occupy and entertain dogs I work with. During lockdown, I started to create different canine enrichment toys to support my dog care business. These handmade toys are designed to be used in different ways to help with lots of dogs' issues, including boredom, to slow fast eaters, teething puppies, training motivation, and more. You can find us at Fergal's Toy Box on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you. There we
Lovely
go.
Lovely stuff. Josh.
See you on Friday.
All right, see you later, mate.
Soap from the Box is the TV podcast that goes behind the scenes of the nation's favourite shows, including Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Hollyoaks and EastEnders.
You know, it was literally, we couldn't sort of go anywhere, we was, you know, without being recognised.
I'm Lee Salisbury and I directed the shows and the stars in them. On this podcast, I delve where no one else has been. You can listen to over 70 episodes right now with stars including Sue Johnston, Glynis Barber, Denise Wells, Sid Owen, Sally Dynevor and Danny Minogue.
No more, no more.
In this week's episode, I chat to the star of one of the biggest Christmas films of all time.
Hi, I'm Martine McCutcheon.
Yes, Love Actually, and EastEnders actress Martine McCutcheon goes behind the scenes with me, especially for you.
It's such a beautiful thing, like, to be part of your legacy to leave behind.
Soap from the Box, the TV podcast.